This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Searching for Grace.
Well, my message this morning is entitled, Searching for Grace. Some of you know what that word grace, and some of you know what it means, and some of you may not know what it means. So I want to share some things with you. I begin with a question this morning. Think about this. When is a gift not a gift? When is a gift not a gift? Here are some answers. When you have to work for it. That's called wages. When it's given in exchange for some service or attainment, like finding the lost dog. That's a reward. Or we need to remember that a gift is not something we're entitled to. Gee, thanks, Dad, for the $500 gift. By the way, I deserve it. I don't think that goes too far. In his epistles, the Apostle Paul says so much about one of God's greatest gifts to humanity, and that's his grace. Here's what Matthew Henry, who's a scholar, writes. Grace is the free, undeserved goodness and favor of God to mankind. It exemplifies God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness, and his favor, his kindness. The source of grace, where does it come from? It comes out of God's abundant love for us. John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This grace comes from God. You didn't deserve it. It's free to you, irrespective of who you are. The channel of God's grace is Jesus Christ. How does God's grace come to us? John 1:17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Prior to Jesus coming to the earth, salvation was available to those who attained perfection, to those who could satisfy all the demands of the Ten Commandments. The only problem was we couldn't do it. We couldn't keep all the commands. There's no way that we could keep all the laws of the Old Testament. I got news for you. There's no way on earth you can keep all the laws that are on the legal books in our culture today and in our society. You walk out the door, you've already broken 10 of them. The instrument of God's grace is faith. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, what kind of faith? Well, you hear a lot of people use these expressions that come from our faith. They talk about believe, but believe in what? They talk about pray, but pray to who? They talk about faith, but faith in what? Not in a denomination, not in a church, not in a person, not in a good deed, not in your philosophy, not in your education, not in your wealth, your position, but faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, God passes down to us his grace. Here are six things that God's grace can do in your life. Number one, Bible says they can give you all the good things that God has for you. Psalm 84:11. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he hold back to them that walk uprightly. All the good things that God has for you come from his grace. Your salvation comes from his grace. Your love comes from his grace. Forgiveness, that's a big word. Not a lot of religions today and over the years have ever talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a big thing. Retribution may be a big thing. Things you have to do, but forgiveness comes when you confess. Your purpose and truth and fellowship and eternal life all come by way of the good things that God wants to deliver to you. Secondly, well, God will give you boldness. Romans 15:15. I have written the more boldly unto you because of the grace that is given me of God. The courage to live your life as a Christian. We talk about people in South Korea We talk about people in other parts of the Pacific Rim who are being tortured for their faith. We think about China. We think about Hong Kong. We think about Africa. I can go down the list of places where people are being persecuted, where they're being beaten, where they're being killed for their faith. You go to Africa, it's happening all over the place with so many Muslims that are very, very violent and don't want to just see the Christian faith gone. They want to see it dead. God will give you the boldness to stand up. Where do those folks who stand up to these things, where do they come from? Where does the courage come from? It comes by way of the grace of God to give you the boldness to be able to stand up. Where do we get this boldness in this culture today when Christians are maligned and marginalized? Where do we get the boldness to say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ? Not a matter just of wearing a cross. It's about living a cross. But being free to speak of the things that God has done in your life. Where do you get the boldness to say what this is what God has done? Some people think they have to be a scholar, a Bible scholar, in order to share what the gospel is all about to people in their sphere of influence. But that's not the case. What you need to do is be able to share your testimony of what God has done in your life. And people will want to know more about that. And then the Holy Spirit will give you more. And we'll try to equip you with the more. Third, grace tells us those who hear and believe will be saved. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe him in thy, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You don't have to jump through a series of hoops to have salvation. Think about all the religions in the world today. That you have to, in order for you to receive salvation, in order for you to be right with God, you have to do things. It's almost like you have to walk on a bed of nails or a bed of hot coals in order to be saved. You cannot reach perfection. You can't keep all the rules and the regulations. And people have tried and they failed. And that's why some people walk away from that faith. And people walk away from our faith. In some cases, they don't walk away from their faith because part of the doing says, if you walk away from this faith, you'll be damned. And so fear comes in. We don't use fear. Now, it's a fearful thing to think that if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hell waits for you. But that's your choice. And that's your decision. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God's made a way out. It's like being in a locked room and somebody wants to give you the key and you reject it. Fourth, God's grace offers pardon and peace to all. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When you have peace with God, that's the beginning of peace in your heart and life. When you don't have peace with God, that's because your relationship is not right. You sense that. You don't have that peace. Instead of peace, you have guilt. Instead of guilt, you have fear. Instead of fear, you have anxiety and stress. All of these things married together to give you a sense, I've got to do the right thing by God. Love. Peace that God offers to each and every one of us should be the driving force behind the things we do. We have peace with God because our sins have been forgiven. Those sins that you have were nailed to the cross. They're not yours anymore. When you confess your sins and you ask Jesus to forgive you, you know what the Bible tells us? That he has forgiven you. If you confess your sins, he's made a promise that he will be faithful. You can trust him. He'll be real with you. He will take away your sins. He'll wash away all sin. But Pastor, you don't know about the sins in my life. I was a this, I was a that, I did this and I did that. God knows, and you're the only one who has to answer to. You're the only one you have to answer to is God. And when you answer to God and you confess your sins, he receives your confession. When you ask him to forgive you, you will be forgiven. You got to claim that promise. God's grace gives you endurance. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That means when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you're so overwhelmed, when you feel you can't take another breath, when you feel the stress and the anxiety are so heavy on you, work is so vicious and so hard, they demand so much, personal relationships within your life are just dragging you down, when you feel like you've just adopted a spirit of unhappiness and malaise, when you feel like it's all caving in on you and you say, I just don't have the strength to keep going on, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. I will give you the strength to get through this, and you will get through it. The circumstance may not change. The situation may not change. But there is one thing that can change, and that's your attitude about it. And when you know you have God's strength, God's grace then gives you hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Hope. How many people today that you know feel hopeless? That's one of the great things that the Bible talks about. Now there are three great things: hope, faith, and love. God's love. So when people are without hope, when people are hopeless, that's when people get desperate. And when people are hopeless, and when people are desperate, they do desperate things. Things that we can't even imagine in some cases. God's grace given freely to you. What do you do with it? Do you keep it to yourself? All these things that I just mentioned, all of these things are gifted to you through Jesus Christ. What do? Do you hang on to it? God's grace was given to us to be shared. And this is a truth that is seldom discussed. We always talk about getting God's grace and having God's grace and grace being given to us. But what do we do after God's given it to us? Do we keep it to ourselves? Or do we have graciousness to others? 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as every man has received the gift, grace, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You got God's grace, but do you give God's grace to others? We don't hear that conversation. That's not preached that often. All we are is recipients, receiving. But what about giving it out? Are we giving out God's grace? And I'll explain that a little bit better as we go along here. We don't just extend God's grace, mercy, kindness, goodness, and love to the people we decide deserve it. You know, this is the opposite of what God was doing. This is the opposite of the grace you got. God gave you his grace while you were yet a sinner. God gave you his grace while you weren't perfect. P.S. You still have his grace and you're still not perfect. But it's an ongoing reality, an ongoing phenomenon, an ongoing blessing that you have God's grace. Now you turn around and say, well, I'll be kind and I'll be gracious and I'll be forgiving and I'll be loving and all these other things that are part of what makes God's grace. But I won't give it to this person because you don't know what this person did. I think I hear Jesus saying this in Luke 6:27. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. That's a pretty high bar. That's not something you can do in your own strength. But wait a minute. We just talked a minute ago about God's grace being his strength, that he gives you strength. So maybe you can't forgive. Maybe you can't let go. Maybe you can't extend kindness and graciousness and love and forgiveness to X because you don't have the strength and you don't have the capacity at this point. But guess what? God can give it to you. You've already got his grace in you. All you got to do is let it out. There are a couple of steps I'd like to present to you. Number one, pray. Don't have the grace? Pray. Luke 6:28, bless them that curse thee. Pray for them that despitefully use you. One of the things I found in my life when I deal with certain people who really are difficult to deal with, I pray for them by name. And I try to focus in on the good thing. Everybody's got at least one good thing that I could focus in on and find and pray about and ask God to bless that person. Well, you can't exactly bless that person when deep in your heart you're really, that dirty rat. You can't do that. It's just kind of contradictory. This puts your heart in a place where you can take another big step, and that is talk and listen. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, some seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. A heart filled with grace, love, and mercy breaks down barriers and presents an opportunity to talk to a friend or a foe. Do your friends feel free to talk to you about the problems, their problems, or your faith in Jesus Christ? Is there an openness in your relationship with people? Do you feel comfortable speaking to someone you have a problem with? You see, being able to listen, being able to talk, being able to speak, conversation is how usually broken relationships come about. Things that were said, things that were done. How do you think they're resolved? Prayer and conversation. When we converse with people, when we talk to people, what is our speech like? I mean, without even realizing it, are we nasty? Without even realizing that sometimes we put people down, is it part of our humor, part of our persona? A heart of grace has the wisdom to recognize that we humans are all complex and flawed. We have a life story. We've all experienced feelings of being alone. We've all been hurt. We've all reacted to those challenges in a different way, our own way. Some people come across as angry and mean-spirited. We tend to keep those people at an arm's distance. But have you ever wondered this? Why is this person like that? Why? Have you ever wondered if there's a backstory? Something that makes this person like this? And you just don't know? Some people come across as sad, dejected loners. They are hard to get to be close to, and have you ever wondered why they're the way they are? You know, the wonderful thing about being in church with brothers and sisters sitting here, if we know one another, after a while we get to know one another. I mean, I can look at somebody's face and say, how are you doing today? Like, is everything all right? I can't tell you how many times I've seen that in the congregation and someone said, Pastor, I'm doing terrible today. Could you pray for me? Can't do that. I can't do that. Hi, you're out there. You see me, but I don't see you. I can't see you over the internet. I don't know if your tears are flowing. I don't know if you have a sad countenance this morning. I don't know if you're brokenhearted. But if you were here, I could see that, and I could tell, and I could pray with you. 2 Corinthians 11:19, for you suffer, you bear with fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. What does that mean? The heart full of grace connects with people of all kinds, from the wise to the foolish, kindness, care, and love by giving unmerited favor to all. You take the mean-spirited, you take the broken-hearted, you take the arrogant, you take the proudful, it take the dishonest, it take fill in all the blanks that make us who we are. We're very complex. And we take people for who they are, if we can tell who they are. You don't trust everybody. People have to earn your trust. But you can sure love them before you know who they are. And then you can find yourself in a situation where either they've disappointed you and broken your heart. You know, loving people is a risky thing to do. You put yourself out when you love. You expose your innermost being to somebody you love. And there they have your heart in the palm of their hand. And they can either make it a glorious experience or they can crush you. It's the way it is. It's real life. The truth is, we all need mercy. We all need compassion. When we give grace, we are able to mentally and physically see through another's eyes, gaining insight, recognizing another person's innermost feelings as much as we possibly can, maybe we can discover why they are the way they are. Can we come to a place of trust whereby we can share the gospel? Can we demonstrate to somebody that someone did love us and cared enough for us to leave a palace in heaven and come to a barn on earth? After all, when people connect with you and they connect with me and they experience what it is to be in our sphere of influence, when they hear and see the way we are, that's a testimony. I call it the testimony of show and tell. What a perfect way to express the gospel of Jesus Christ by first living it. And when you live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and you come in contact with people, they see there's something different. And then they want to know. And then when you tell them, your life has validated your words. They're not hearing something that was completely different from what you presented before you ever told them about Jesus. There's a consistency. There's an in focus. Your life and your words match up. That's the goal. In our heart of hearts, what do we need as human beings? We need love. We need fellowship. We need other people. We need security. We need safety. Maslow's theory of the hierarchical needs. We need purpose. We need hope. We need forgiveness. We need peace. We need acceptance. And in the end, we're all searching for grace. This is what's in grace. All the things that a person really needs in their life, not necessarily wants, but really needs. All of these things are found in Jesus Christ and by his grace. So the question is, who will share the gospel and grace of Jesus Christ with those in your sphere of influence? The only answer is you. You can invite your friends here to church, and I'll be happy to stand behind the sacred desk and preach to them as if they were the only people here, like I preach to you, as if you were the only person I'm sitting here talking to. Only the Holy Spirit can lead to a place where, Pastor, you were talking to me today. Well, I was talking to everybody. This is what the Lord gave me over the week. If it touched your heart, it's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I mean, how are your friends and family going to come to know Jesus Christ unless you tell them and you show them? Salvation begins with God's sending process. In other words, God gives you a divine appointment. You don't want to, quote unquote, shove the gospel down people's throats. You don't want to be obnoxious. You pray for God to give you an opportunity to speak. A moment. What does it look like? What does it sound like? It can sound as simple as this. You know, life stinks. Why? Does your life stink? Why does your life stink? Oh, I'm just fed up with it. Can I tell you what changed my life from seeing life stinks? The opportunity, the potential that life is beautiful? Is that an opening or what? Oh, I hate this, I hate that, I hate the other thing. Why? Why do you hate? In Isaiah 6:8, the prophet Isaiah was asked the double question. God asked him, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Here is Isaiah's answer. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. God's asking you that question this morning. Who's going to go for me? Who's going to speak to your family? Who's going to speak to your friends? The answer is you. Paul tells us we've all been sent by Christ, and the success getting the gospel message to those who need it the most now depends upon our obedience as servants of the Lord. It's always been in Christendom, especially in the more hierarchical churches, it's the job of the priest. It's the job of the pastor. It's the job of the people who are being paid to tell about Jesus. No, it's your job. It's my job. And it's our job collectively to share the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'll draw people to me from every walk of life, of every persuasion. Just lift me up. Just give me a chance to do what I can do in their lives. Just show love. And when asked why you're that kind of a person, let them know it's because of what Jesus has done in my life. Do you know him? Of course, this all begins with whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. God loves you and wants to have a personal relationship with you. You can have his salvation. Four things I wrote down for you to consider. Confess that you have sinned and want to turn your heart from sin. Second, ask him to forgive you. What does he do? The Bible says he applies the blood of Jesus Christ, shed 2,000 years, in some mystical way that I don't understand, but I can just tell you this, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away your sin. So ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, admit that you've been a sinner, say that you believe in Christ, that he was buried, he rose again, that's the heart of the gospel, and ask him to come into your heart and life to help you live your faith out. This is the gospel. Not so hard, it's four things you can tell anybody. You're a sinner, confess your sins, ask Jesus to forgive you, and he will. Ask him to come into your heart, and he will. Tell him that you believe he rose from the dead, that he died for your sin. And last, ask him to come in your heart and your life. And he'll do that. And he'll change your life. Let's pray. Father, there be any here this morning who do not know Jesus as Christ and Savior and Lord, whether they be physically here or whether they be on the telephone, or whether they be on the live stream, to pray the prayer of faith. Dear Lord, I know that I've sinned. Please forgive me. I pray that Jesus' blood will wash away my sin. I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and I'm putting my faith and trust in him. Please come into my heart and my life, and help me to live my life in such a way that each day I will walk in your ways. Thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. I pray that someone has prayed that prayer this morning.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.